It's the Shiesty Show, back with another episode. This is episode 31. We live and direct, ready to get it started, man. We got a lot of news around the NFL. We got boxing that just happened with Anthony Joshua. So we got a lot to get into this show. Episode 31 is the Shiesty Show. Shiesty. So let's get right into it, man. First thing I want to talk about is, of course, my Raiders getting the sweet deal. Picking up Wilkins from the Miami Dolphins, D-tackle. So 4 years, $110 million, as it's reported. I know about 84 of that money is guaranteed. So, you know, that's a big stake for us, man. To pair him with Max Crosby, that's Wilkins, Christian Wilkins, man. I was trying to find his name, but I know it was Wilkins. Christian Wilkins, 28 years old. I looked up his age because a lot of the times when they make these big signings, that's when a lot of these guys are already old and way past their prime, and they're just pretty much getting a payday. So when I saw that he was born in 95 and he is only 28 years old, was it 95? Yeah, I don't think his birthday has passed yet. So, yeah, he's 28 years old right now, still very young, talented D-tackle, pair him with Max Crosby. And now you also got to throw in Malcolm Kuntz. You throw him in there, who had 8 or 9 sacks last year. And now you also throw Tyree Wilson, the rookie, who really started to come in his own the last part of the season for the Raiders. That's me personally watching. That was our number one pick. Had a lot of concerns about his foot and his ankle. Didn't play 1 year in college because of a broken foot. So I think there was a lot of question marks for him, but, you know, he started to come on as well toward the end. So that's that. From what we have right now, and you pair him with big Mike Jenkins in the middle, or who is it? I think it's Kelvin Jenkins, right? D-tackle for the Raiders in the middle. Big dude, and he's been on the Raiders for a couple of years now, our nose tackle. So you pair them two guys with Crosby and Kuntz on the end, and you got a good D line, man, and a lot of people are going to be afraid to play. They're already afraid of Max Crosby. So to have a pairing like that, play them on both sides, opposite sides, so many different things you can do with these guys. And it's a great pickup for the Raiders. So that was the most important thing. But then on the flip side of that, we lost Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers. Much love to Josh Jacobs. I still think he is one of the best backs in the game right now. Definitely don't want to take nothing away from him. Once a Raider, always a Raider. I just think with Antonio Pierce being there, he'd probably want to spend the money elsewhere and maybe rely on Zamir White and possibly a free agent they bring in at a lower price. But I know Josh Jacobs was looking to get paid, and the Packers paid him. Much deserved, well deserved. Even though his last year in Vegas, he was hurt a lot of the season, but for the most part, he was always reliable, and he's a great back. So it does hurt, but like I said, once a Raider, always a Raider. Much love and success to my boy Josh Jacobs over there. So that was a pickup for the Packers. Another one that I saw, I know Devontae Adams was questioned of who he would like to play with, and he threw his name out there, which was Kirk Cousins. And I know Kirk Cousins just signed to Atlanta. So that's a good deal for him. Man got paid once again. But I honestly thought the Raiders would make a good, like a push for him. But once I saw they got Minshew from the Colts, another Raider pickup, Colts QB last year. Once they got him, I realized that was probably going to go out the window. And what I do think is going to happen, prediction here right now, I'm calling it, if they can't trade up without giving up a lot to get Jaden Daniels and a guy like that, a Caleb Williams, if they can't trade up to go get a guy like that, I honestly think they'll just sit back and let Minshew and Aiden O'Connell fight for the starting job. And to me, as a Raider fan, honestly, Aiden O'Connell went 5-4, played some of the tougher teams in the NFL. You know, of course, playing the Chiefs twice, going against elite quarterbacks like Justin Herbert. So, to me, honestly, I think that's going to be the move. If they can't trade up to get one of those guys, I don't think AP is willing to give up a lot of picks or any type of good player just to trade up. Obviously, it's going to take some top picks, but if it's a give me two first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, kind of like what the Broncos got for Wilson, you know, or what they traded away to get Wilson, you know, I don't see the Raiders doing that. I don't see Pierce putting himself in a hole like that. So I think it'll be Aiden O'Connell and Minshew fighting for that QB starting position. So we'll see how that goes, man. Like I said, Aiden O'Connell was 5-4. So things are looking up and up. It's better than Derek Carr. I'll tell you that, because that man is whack, and I hate him. Anyways, nah, I'm just playing. I don't hate Derek Carr. I don't hate Derek Carr, man. You know what? Boy was good before he got his leg broken. And after that, he wasn't so good. But no disrespect. All jokes for my boy Derek Carr. Next on the list, we got the Dallas Cowboys. Breaking news. Picking up Uncle Rico. You better watch out. This man can throw over mountains. That's what I've heard. That's the word in the streets. Uncle Rico, I think that's a terrific pickup. Man, that's great. That's all they've been missing, man. That's all they've been missing. So Dak, scoot over. Uncle Rico is in town. Now, but let's get some serious action. We got Saquon Barkley going to the rival Philadelphia Eagles. Man, this was some big news just because usually teams are not going to want to trade a star player that doesn't want to be there, not going to trade them to a division rival, let alone a division rival, just someone in the division that they may face later down the line. They do not want to give you that type of weapon to go against them. And somehow Saquon Barkley found his way to Philadelphia. I believe he was a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. But to let him walk and not give him a deal, and he walks right over to the competition. Oh, man, gotta love it. Still young, still fresh in the game, still got a bright future. I know he's been injured a little bit, but he's still fairly young, and that's the main thing of these running backs is just being young. Anything under 30, I think you're still considered in your prime. So, you know, we got to see what he can do, but for the deal he got, congratulations to Saquon Barkley. That's a big move right there. That's really going to shift some things. If Philly's already in a conversation of, you know, playoff talks and all that, and is doing that, and then you add someone like Saquon Barkley to the fold, you know, that's good, man. Because Jalen Hurts, he's the real deal. So to pair him and have a running back like Barkley, that's a very, very good pickup for them. And that's definitely what I wanted to speak on. So, you know, that's up in the news. What else we got? Oh, the Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua, here we go. Talk a little boxing here. Anthony Joshua, I saw the fight Friday night. Very entertaining. I will say this. I was going for Francis. I was going for the nightmare. But I knew in the heart of hearts that Fury, I think, came in and underestimated him, thinking that it was going to be a Jake Paul type of performance where he could just go in there and pretty much knock a UFC guy out, no problem. But this guy was trained in boxing. You know, he is one of the hardest punchers in the UFC, so there's always that puncher's chance, and he did very well against the best, not one of the best heavyweight in the division. And I honestly think he did hold his own. And coming again in his second fight, he's coming up against number 2 in the division. To me, I think Joshua's been on a roll. He's 2B. I give 2A to Juszczyk because Juszczyk has not lost since he's fought Anthony Joshua twice. And Joshua is being considered one of the best, so you got to throw Juszczyk in there. So that's 2A, 2B. And I honestly thought that Francis was going to be able to hold his own a little bit better than what he did. But once I saw Joshua set him up to the body and then go upstairs with that right hand and connect the first time and drop him, I knew that he was going to pretty much be setting up that punch the whole fight. And that's exactly what he did. Set up that punch the whole fight. Quick body shot. Throw a quick body shot. And then right upstairs with the right hand. And when that right hand came, it went off like dynamite. Boom, baby. Because it was like a Madden phrase. I'm telling you. Bodies was shaking. The trees were shaking. Man, but nah, it was a crazy knockout. One of the best knockouts I've ever seen. And you know, say Francis has a very granite chin, that he is a UFC fighter. He gets punched on with smaller gloves than this that they box in boxing, and absolutely got blasted, flatline, and just shows you, man, that UFC, there's so many different aspects to the fighting. In UFC, it's more of a street fight. Those are street fight rules, elbows, kicks, flying knees, flying elbows. That's all Street Fighter stuff. So that's definitely more in the avenue of being an actual fight. Boxing. But one thing about boxing is this. No matter if it's UFC, karate, everything is about throwing a punch. If you know how to throw a punch and someone else doesn't, you know how to counter, you know how to stick and move, just a little bit. You don't have to know very much, just a little bit. You're going to beat 85% of people out in the streets. First thing they're going to do is throw up their hands and try to box. No matter what anyone says, they can say all this UFC stuff and all that. But if you're not trained in UFC or jiu-jitsu to learn how to properly take someone down or tackle someone, you're going to throw your fist up. That's the first instinct. So, you know, if you can learn the basics of boxing, you can do a lot of damage. Look at Jake Paul. A lot of people love to hate on that guy, but you can just see him steadily getting better and better and better. And once you get to that elite level with the hand speed and just combinations and throwing hooks and counters and all that, look at how he's been knocking out these UFC dudes. I don't care what the people like to say that they're fixed and all that. I don't think Woodley will go in there and say, oh, yeah, go ahead, Jake Paul, knock me out for some money. You know why? Because the guy said that he was only offered $1 million. He was only offered $1 million if he did happen to take a dive. But he said, what is $1 million to me? I'm Tyron Woodley. My name speaks volumes. I'm a UFC heavyweight champ, a UFC lightweight champ. I've done it all in the sport of UFC. And why would I let this guy from YouTube come in here and embarrass me on national TV? So I don't care what what's the fucking conspiracy theorists? I don't care what these conspiracy theorists think. Matter of fact, shit don't blink. Nah, I'm just playing, but for real, I think a lot of that is bullshit. I just don't think they like to give Jake Paul the credit he deserves. The dude has been getting better and better every fight. If you really know boxing, you really love boxing. He's been getting better and better and better every fight. For a guy that did not box his whole life and only boxed the last 6 years, I will say this, that he's beating guys that most average guys on the street talking shit about him would never beat. You guys would never beat Tyron Woodley in a boxing match. A lot of you guys would never beat Nate Diaz in a boxing match. Anderson Silva in a boxing match. This guy is coming from ground zero to fight some of the best UFC strikers. They're not boxers, because when he did fight a boxer, he lost. But I do think that if he had a rematch, he did drop him, though. Don't forget that. Tommy Fury beat him, but he dropped him. And that's a professional boxer. So you don't think that this guy hasn't been practicing on his skills and working on his game? He dropped a professional boxer. He did lose. You know, but he fought a professional boxer and held his own. He's beaten world class. These aren't just UFC guys that had a 2-3 year run and nobody heard of them. These guys are world champions. They've been in boxing rings. They've been in octagons. They spar. They train. And you're going to tell me that you can just, any guy, YouTube guy, can just go in there and handle this? I don't think so, man. It takes practice, dedication to the sport. And I really think he's doing boxing a big favor right now. Now, if he goes in there and he hurts Mike Tyson, which that fight is coming up, he goes in there and hurts Mike Tyson, then it might be bad news for Jake Paul. I think there'll be a lot of people coming and gunning for him if he happens to go in there and hurt Mike Tyson. He better not go in there and try to show off and really hurt a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. You know, he's 57, but, you know, he's pushing that 60. So I think this is more for the sparring. I think it's going to be a sparring match. I think Jake Paul will tag Mike a little bit. But I also think Mike is going to tag Jake Paul. He's going to love it. You know, that's what he loves to do. He loves to fight. At the end of the day, it's still Mike. Instincts will kick in, and I think he'll hold his own. But it's all for entertainment. Hopefully, Jake Paul don't go in there and act a fool, try to hurt Mike, because honestly, I don't want to see Mike lose it and not be able to get up or talk after a fight like this because Jake Paul wanted to take advantage of an old man and not actually go in there with a boxer. I give him a lot of credit for what he's done. But after this exhibition and this sparring match you have with Mike Tyson, it's time to stop running. You're an amateur boxer. Like I said, you've been practicing to be a boxer. You're an amateur boxer in my eyes, getting good enough to obviously be professional. It's time to start fighting the boxers and making it happen and showing these fans what it's really about. And that's boxing and the love of the sweet science. But that's all we got for today. Happy to tap back in. I'm going to try to do these every Tuesday or every Saturday is what we're looking to do. Going to be starting school soon, barber school. But I'll make time because this is my business as well. And we got to grow this thing. And I appreciate everybody that watches and listens and takes the time to support. It's the Shiesty Show. I'm your host, Matt. And we out.